Of course, before I begin, I do want to thank Pastor Jimenez for the opportunity to serve here, and as well as to get to preach behind this pulpit. It's always a great honor for anyone to get to preach behind this pulpit, so I do appreciate that. And so we're there in 1 Samuel chapter number 10. Look at verse number 1 again, 1 Samuel 10:1. The Bible says, notice, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because, notice, the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? So here in this chapter, we see that Samuel anoints Saul to be the new king, the first king of the children of Israel. Of course, if you know the story, you know that the children of Israel, they desired a king from God, which this pleased the Lord. But you know, God granted them here Saul, and here we see Samuel anointing Saul. And I want you to quickly notice the characteristic of this new king. Look at chapter 9, 1 Samuel 9, look at verse number 1. I want you to notice what was the kind of man that Saul was like. You know, what was Saul like? What was his characteristics? 1 Samuel 9, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, now there was a man of Benjamin, in verse 1, whose name was Kish. And here we see God giving us a description of this man's father, this the type of family that he came from, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zer, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphia, a Benjamite. Notice what it says about Saul's father. It says, a mighty man of power. See, Saul's father was a man who was a mighty man, a strong, courageous man. It says a man of power. This was a man who had great authority. So we see the kind of family that Saul came from. It was a strong background. Look at verse number 2. Notice what it says. And he had a son whose name was Saul. Notice, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. We see Saul was a man, it says he was a choice young man, meaning Saul was of great quality. It says he was goodly. You know, this is a very attractive young man. And it says there was nobody like him. There's not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. You know, if you look at Saul, you know, like, this Saul is a natural born king. He's goodly. He's a choice young man. And look what it says. It says, from his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. We see a man who is a strong young man. He's higher than anyone. There's nobody better to choose from than Saul. And so Saul naturally seems like the best choice for a king. And we look at verse number 15. Here we see that the Lord chooses this choice young man to be the king. Verse 15, it says, notice, now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time, notice, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him, notice, to be captain over my people Israel. Notice, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people because their cry is come unto me. See, God needed this king to be the captain over his people, to save his people. So we see Saul, he's got a lot of responsibility as a new king. You know, he's over God's people. He's there to lead them, to guide them, to direct them in the ways of the Lord. Notice verse number 17. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, notice, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. And so we see that Saul, you know, naturally you'd think, of course, this guy's going to be the king. You know, he's good looking. He's strong. He looks like just a natural choice. But look at chapter 10 again, 1 Samuel 10. Now, I want you to notice what Samuel does. See, Samuel puts Saul, and God puts Saul down a road to prepare Saul for what God had for him, a road to prepare him to be that king. 1 Samuel 10, notice verse number 1 again. Notice, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Verse 2, notice, and when thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. Notice, and they will salute, and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorrowth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? You see, Samuel puts him on this road. And it's a road that, you know, that you and I must be willing to take. This road that is meant to prepare Samuel. And as we're going to read these next few verses, we see that Saul comes to three different stops upon this road. And the first stop we see in verse 2, Samuel tells him, look, you're going to meet two men. And they're going to tell you, Saul, that the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. Notice, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorrowth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? That is the first stop. But it goes on, verse 3. What's the next stop? Notice, then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet, you know, meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. See, the first stop, we see that Saul goes down and he meets three men and tells him, look, the asses are found. Your dad's worried about you now. And Samuel says, you know what? You're just going to keep going. And on the next stop, you're going to meet three people going up to God, carrying three kids of the goats, carrying three loaves of bread, carrying three bottles of wine. And verse number four, he says, notice, and they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. And so we see that's the second stop. And Samuel says, you know what? After that, you're just going to keep going. And we see the third stop in verse number five. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. So we see Samuel puts him on this road. He says, look, Saul, you're anointed king, but you know what? To prepare you, there's this path you have to go down, and there's these three stops that are going to happen as you're on this path. You say, what's the point? What's the point of God in Samuel putting Saul down this path? Well, notice verse number six. Notice, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them. Notice what it says. And shalt, notice, be turned into another man. See, the whole point for this road that Saul had to go on was that he had to become another man. You know, and you think to yourself, you know, Saul was just the natural choice to be king. He was strong. He was good looking. He was fit. You'd think this guy's perfect to be king. But Saul, or Samuel and God looked at Saul. You know what they said? Saul, you're not ready. And he says, you know what? You need to become another man. You need to become somebody else. And he puts them down this road to becoming another man. See, the truth is, if you and I are going to accomplish what God has for us, then you and I need to become another man. Can you place there in 1 Samuel 10? Go quickly to 2 Corinthians 5. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And look, you have to realize, look, that you and I, we must become somebody completely new. We must become another man. And look, sadly, you know, people think that Christianity is this thing that they can add on to their old self, to their old man. They say, you know what, I don't want to change my life, but you know what, let me just add church into my already existing life and see if me adding this little thing will somehow change who I am, change my circumstances, help me to accomplish what God has for me. But no, the reality is that we need to change. We need to become somebody completely new. And, you know, I just want to quickly talk about the fact that, you know, I'm not talking about salvation. You know, salvation is obviously believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is a one-time thing. And look, and the moment that you got saved, the Bible says that you became a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. That's what it says. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, it says, notice, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, when you got saved, you became a new creature. There is a new man living inside of you. But just because you have a new creature, or you are a new creature, or because you have the new man, does not mean that you are walking in the new man. See, look, walking in the new man is a choice that we must make. Go to Ephesians 2, if you go to Ephesians chapter number 2. The Bible says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And when you got saved, look, the new creature, you became a new creature. There's a new man living inside of you. But just because you have that new man does not mean you are walking in the new man. Ephesians 2, look at verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Notice, not of works, lest any man should boast. And of course, that's obviously talking about salvation. But notice verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. Notice that we should walk in them. See, there's a new way that we should walk. We should walk in the new man. And the reality is that if we're going to succeed in the Christian life, look, we're not going to win the Christian life by living in the old man. We must choose to become somebody completely different, a brand new man, somebody who is unrecognizable. We must be turned into another man. And this morning, you know, I want to challenge you to go down this road that Saul had to go down. And sadly, you know, sadly, most Christians don't decide to go down the road of becoming another man. But you gotta just choose, like, you know what, I'm going to go down this path. And why is it that, you know, people come, people go. People can be in the Christian life and never change, never become somebody new, never become a new man. It's because they chose not to go down the road of becoming that new man. Key place there in Ephesians, go back to 1 Samuel 10, if you would, 1 Samuel 10. And look, there's a road to the new man. And it's a road that you just ought to decide to take. You see, you know what? I'm willing to become somebody new. I'm willing to become somebody different. And we see the first stop that Saul has to take on this road of becoming the new man. 1 Samuel 10, look at verse number 2 again. And when thou art departed from me today, notice, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zilzah. And they will salute, and they will say unto thee, notice, the asses which thou wentest to seek for, to seek, notice, are found. You say, why is Samuel telling, why are these three men going to Saul and saying, you know, those asses which thou wentest to seek for, you know what, they're found? It's because, look, if you know the story, look, this is what Saul was going after. Go to 1 Samuel 9, look at verse number 3, 1 Samuel 9. In verse number 3, the Bible says, in 1 Samuel 9, 3, it says, and the asses of Kish, notice, Saul's father were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, notice, take now one of the servants with thee, notice, and arise. He says, go seek the asses. You see, Saul's purpose was to seek for the goats or the asses that his dad has lost. And Samuel tells Saul, look, these men, they're going to come to you and say, you know what, that what you were looking for in the past, your old pursuits in life, he's saying, don't worry about them. They're already found. You see, the road to the new man requires a new direction. Amen. See, what you were looking for once in life, you have to learn to let that go, the old man. See, the old man had an old pursuit. The old man had an old direction in life. And look, this is why when people get saved, you know, sometimes I want to beg people when they get saved, like I want to beg them, look, like God has a plan for your life. God has a road. God is a new creature that he wants you to become another man. But you have to be willing to let some things go. The old pursuits in life. And it goes on. And notice what else it says. It says, notice, and lo, thy father, and it's 1 Samuel 10, verse 2. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, notice, and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? You see, on this first stop, we see Samuel says, you know what? You got to forget the old pursuits in life. But not just that. He tells him, look, your father, he's not worried about the asses anymore. Those are found. But notice, he sorroweth. He's caring for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? You know, why are these people telling this to Saul? They're telling this to Saul because this is what Saul was worried about. Saul was worried about what his dad was thinking. 1 Samuel 9, look at verse number 5. 1 Samuel 9, 5, it says, notice, and they were come to the land of Zeph. In verse 5, Saul said to his servants that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses, notice, and take thought for us. See, Saul was worried about what his dad thought. And here we see Samuel saying, look, this is going to happen. You're going to go there. They're going to say, you know what? Don't worry about your old pursuits. And you know what? Your dad, guess what? Yeah, he is worried. He's concerned about you. And you know, at this time, you know, Saul had a choice to make. He had a choice to say, you know what? Should I go back to my old pursuits? Should I go back? Because he's worried about his dad. He's worried about what he thinks. He's worried about the fact that his dad cares about him. And he has to decide, you know what, should I go back? And look, this is why people decide not to go down the road of the new man, because they don't go to a new direction. They say, you know what, I'm going to go back to my old pursuits. I'm going to go back to what people want me to do. But Saul, notice what Saul says, or Samuel, in verse 3. Notice, it says, then shalt thou, notice, go on forward from him. He says, then shalt thou go on forward from thence. You know what Samuel didn't say? Samuel didn't say, hey, you know what? Yeah, they're looking for you. You better go back to your old life. You better go back to the way you used to live. See, the new man requires a new direction. And so if you got saved, look, you got to just decide, you know, I'm willing to let the past go, the old man go. Because, look, your old man had an old way of doing things in life. Your old man was going through the course of this world. This is why, look, this is why there are Christians who get saved, and yet they still live like the world. They still go home and just watch the filth of the world. They still go home and just put on the jerseys and just live their lives on Sundays, just watch sports. They live their life just to make money. They live their life just to live for themselves. There's no change. They're not living for God. You see, why? Because they're not willing to make a change in direction in life. They want to just walk in that old man, go the old way, and just do the same old things. But no, if you want to become the new man, look, realize that you have a new direction. Go to Ephesians 4 if you would, Ephesians chapter 4. You see, what's the road to the new man? The road is a new direction. The road to the new man requires a new direction. Ephesians 4, look at verse number 22. Ephesians 4, 22. It says, notice, that ye put off. Ephesians 4, 22. That ye put off, notice, concerning the former conversation. You know, what is it? That's the old lifestyle. Notice, the old man. And look, realize, look, that the new, because look, people come to church and praise God for it because, look, you need help and I need help. But look, the way that we get help is by becoming the new man. Because realize, look, that the new man is not in the old man. The new man is not in the past. The new man requires you to put off concerning the former conversation, the way that you used to live your life. Notice the old man, that's what it says, which is corrupt according to the deceitful flesh, deceitful lusts. See, we ought to be putting off the former conversation, taking those things off. So look, when you got saved, look, if you got saved, you should just make some choices. You know what? I'm willing to make a change in my life. I'm willing to put off the former conversation. Verse 23, notice, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that ye put on, notice, the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, to become the new man, you must have a new direction in life. And so if you got saved, you say, you know what, like, I have a problem with whatever you have a problem with in life, whether it's pride, look, take off that old man. Whether it's drugs and alcohol, look, take off the former conversation. Whether it's just wasting your time on the television or on social media or whatever burden is in life or struggle or sin it is, you know, just take off the former conversation, the old man, notice, and put on the new man. And that's what it says. It says, which after God. You know, when you're after something, guess what you're doing? You're pursuing something. See, the old man wants to go one direction, but the new man wants to go a completely different direction. It says, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Go to Romans 6, if you would, Romans chapter 6. See, you have a new man. You must choose to walk in the direction of the new man. And the Bible says that you put on the new man, which after God. The Apostle Paul said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He said, but I follow after, I'm pursuing after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Romans 6, look at verse number 6. The Bible says, knowing this, that our old man, notice, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And this is why the other day, you know, Pastor was talking about in his Wednesday sermon about the people of Nineveh, and he talked about the fact that there are some people who, yeah, they get saved, but then they actually just get right with God. And look, that's a choice that anyone can make. If you just choose to crucify the old man. Because look, the reality is that the new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. The old man is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. This is why, like, the old man, yeah, they want to just go home and drink and smoke and watch TV and not live for God and not go soul. And that's what the old man wants to do. But see, the new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. And the way that we get there is that we must crucify the old man. Verse number 11, Romans 6, 11, notice what it says. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Notice, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See, the reality is that the new man has new priorities. See, the old man wants to go home, and they want to do what? The old man wants to live for self. And look, and the Christian life is not this thing where, well, I'm just going to live in the old man, do what the old man wants to do. This is what I do. This is how, because look, people have this attitude. This is how I am. This is how I live. You know, I'm okay just, you know, adding church once or twice a week. I'm okay living however I want out there in the world. I'm just going to add to this Christian life. But no, but the Christian life is lived in the new man. Amen. And look, why do people come and go? Why do people start out right and they play the part for a while and then they end up fading out? It's because they try to live the Christian life in the old man. And the reality is, look, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be done. You must not just add something to your old man and say, I'm just not going to change. No, you must become a completely different person. You must become a new man. Become somebody new and put off the former conversation, the old man. Don't just stay the same. Look, why do you come to church to just want to stay the same? Right. You come to church because you gotta just change in your life. Amen. And look, the new man is in a completely different direction. This is why, when you come to church like this, yeah, we're going to tell you to get the sin out of your life. Your pastor's going to tell you, yeah, you should preach the gospel. He's going to tell you, yeah, you should get right. You should live for the Lord. You should pray. You should read your Bible. Why? Because that is the direction of the new man. But sadly, the road to the new man, people are just unwilling to take it. They want to get stuck in their old direction. They don't want to crucify the old man. But the Bible says, you know what? You got to put on the new man, which after God, in pursuit of God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Go to Colossians 3. Go to Colossians 3. And look, the new man has new priorities. And look, there ought to be some priorities in your life. You're going to Colossians 3. And look, in the old man, guess what? They have their own priorities. Like the old man, you can see it out there in the world. What are their priorities out there in the world? It's living for self, making sure that they have money, making sure that they're happy, making sure that they do whatever they want to do because that's just who they are. And you know what? That is who they are. But look, if you're saved, there's a new creature inside of you. You have the new man. Created after, in righteousness and true holiness. Look, you got to pursue that. You got to go after that. Colossians 3, look at verse number 1 again. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, it says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. It says, set your affection. What is that? That's your priorities. On the things above, not on things on the earth. See, the old man, their affection, their hearts, their pursuits, their priorities are on the things of this earth. This is why, look, if you meet someone who actually gets saved and actually starts living for God, then you've met someone who, you know what, they've decided to change directions in life, to have different priorities. Verse 3, it says, notice, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. And look, this just decide, you know what, that the old man is dead. And people want to live this life where they want to carry this dead body over the new man. This is complete weight. And you wonder why the Christian life for some people is just this drudgery. It's just drudgery. It's so hard to be a Christian. And look, and if you say it's so hard to be a Christian, it's because you're doing it carrying this dead body, this dead weight. And yeah, you're going to get tired. Yeah, you're going to fail. But you know what? The new man can live the Christian life with no problem. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You see, well, how do you find someone who can just week in and week out, decade after decade, live for God, love the Bible, love going soul winning, love the Word of God, love the hints? It's because, look, they've put that dead body aside. And they decided, you know, I'm going to live my life in the new man. And look, and Saul was a man who had everything going on physically. And in order for him to do what God had for him to do, he had to become a completely new man. But look, in the same way, look, if you are a stay-at-home mom, look, you want to raise those kids right, you better do it in the new man. You better do it in the new creature. If you're heading your home, you better do that in the new man, living for God. Because look, the world wants to pull you one way. But you know what? The new man has a completely new direction. Go to Galatians 2, go to Galatians chapter number 2. See, the road to the new man requires a new direction. And look, the new man has new priorities. People want to live for self. They want to carry this dead body, this dead weight around. And they wonder why it's so difficult. Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. And he's talking about the old man. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Notice, nevertheless, I live. He says, yet not I. Notice, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, it says, and gave himself for me. Amen. See, Paul said, look, I'm crucified. You know, just killing the old man. And look, this is a choice that you make. And this is why people just decide, you know what? I like who I am. I like that old man. And that's why people don't want to change. But look, you got to just choose to just let that dead body go. Why? Because it's corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And look, the Christian life is a life that is joy. That can be easily, it takes work, but you know what? That can be won only in the new man. And yeah, it's going to be a drudgery if you're carrying this dead weight around. Just let that thing go. And decide, you know what? I'm willing to go to this new direction. Go back to Romans 12, Romans 12. See, the new man requires new direction. Meaning the new man has new priorities. But not just that. Look, the new man has a new way of thinking. Look, you got to just change also the way you think in life. Romans 12, look at verse number 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. See, the old man is conformed, it looks like, the world, right? Notice, it says, but be transformed, notice, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, the new man, guess what, has a new way of thinking. And if you want to walk in that new man, look, you got to just transform that the way you think about things. Because look, the old man is conformed to the world. And look, and the world wants to conform the way you think. Make you think that what the world has to offer is okay. But you know, when you change what you think and according to the Bible, look, what does the world do? The world wants to just show you all sorts of wickedness and filth on TV and the ads. But you know, the Bible says, let no wicked thing come before thine eyes. Amen. And you say, is it wrong to just watch the television films? Well, you know what? For some people, because they decided to renew their mind, they say, yeah, it's wicked. It's disgusting. It's filthy. That the devil's trying to pervert your mind. But see, the old man doesn't want to change. The old man thinks there's nothing wrong with this. Yeah, that's because that's the old man. But the new man, the new man doesn't want that. The new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, the old man's not comfortable watching the wicked filth of the world. See, the old man thinks, you know what, it's okay to drink this. It's okay to drink alcohol. It's okay to just to look at it. But you know what the new man says? The new man says, no, don't even look at it. Don't look upon the wine when it's red. It's filthy. It's disgusting. It's wicked. But see, that's the thinking of the new man. See, the old man says, it's okay. It's only a beer. It's only this. It's only a cigarette. It's only whatever I'm smoking. But the new man thinks, no, my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in me. And I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. Therefore, I ought to glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are God's. See, that's the thinking of the new man. But see, if you want to change, if you want to become that new man, look, you got to change the way you think in life. Because look, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You got to change the way you think in life. Go to Ephesians 4, if you go to Ephesians chapter number 4. And look, why don't people go down this road of becoming a new man? Because they're content with who the old man is. And look, and with time, look, it gets tiring carrying this dead weight around, this dead body around, when the reality is, look, there's joy in the new man. There's peace in the new man. You can accomplish anything in the new man. Ephesians 4, look at verse number 17. This I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord. Notice, they henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, notice, in the vanity of their mind. Just emptiness. Just there's nothing in there. You mean to tell me that a child grows up in this world and they just naturally, I just love the Raiders. I just got to watch the Raiders on Sunday. They grow up. My son, they just grew up. He came out with a Yankees hat, you know. He came out with what, you know, they just love alcohol. They just love to watch the filth of the world. They just love the movies. You know, no, that doesn't happen naturally. But see, that they're just walking in the vanity, the emptiness. That means that there's nothing in there, the vanity of their mind. And look, in Christians, look, we ought to be different, not just mindlessly doing whatever the world wants us to think and do. See, there's a new way of thinking. Verse number 18, notice, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through, notice, the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Look, as God's people, we should not be ignorant people. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. We gotta be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, the world is full of just ignorance, buffoonery, foolishness, thinking that two men can have a baby. Like, come on, that's just foolishness. But as God's people, look, we ought to just have a new way of thinking in life. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Again, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Notice, and be renewed, notice, in the spirit of your mind. You got to just change that the way you think. And look, if you have a problem, if you think things are okay and the world thinks they're also okay, then there might be a problem there. But when you think like the Word of God thinks, you're going to change the way you think. Because look, the old man and the new man, they have completely different ways of thinking. You see, to become the new man, you must be willing to forsake some things in life. And just, this is a choice that you make. Forsake old priorities and realize, no, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Christ, who is my life. Because that's the old man who, after God, pursuing God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the new man is in pursuit of the things of God, but the old man is in pursuit of the things of the world. You see, what's the road to the new man? Number one, you must be willing to change direction in life. You must change your direction, change your priorities, change your way of thinking. But not just that, go back to 1 Samuel 10, if you go to 1 Samuel chapter number 10. 1 Samuel 10. Not only does the road to the new man require a new direction, but the road to the new man requires new labor. The road to the new man requires new labor. As we go on in the road, we see the second stop that Saul had to take in verse number 3. He says, then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and they shall come to the plain of Tabor, notice, and they shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel. Now I want you to get the story of what happens here. Three men are going to meet Saul. And notice, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. Here we have Saul meeting three men who, one of those men, they're carrying three kids or like three young goats. Another guy's carrying three loaves of bread, and another guy's carrying just a bottle of wine. And you would think, Saul is just this strong young man. Nobody's taller than Saul. Nobody's stronger than Saul. You would think Saul would just go up and say, hey, let me help you with those goats. I mean, if you have this guy carrying three kids of the goats, I'm assuming he's got one on his shoulder, it's two like this, and his hands are full. And this other guy just carrying, three loaves of bread, that's not that much as opposed to three kids. And one guy carrying a bottle of wine, you'd assume Saul would just say, hey, let me help you. Let me help you with those goats. But notice what happens in verse 4. And they will salute thee, notice, and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. I find it interesting that, of all things that they want to give this strong guy, nobody's stronger than Saul, nobody's taller, they just want to give him like two loaves of bread. And you have to ask yourself, why not this big, huge, why not these goats, this big, heavy load? But you know what? All it takes for the new man is just two loaves in his hands. And if you and I want to become the new man, the road to the new man requires new labor. And what you and I need is you and I need a double portion of the bread in our life. Go to Matthew 4, if you're in Matthew chapter 4. And all throughout the Bible, bread is likened unto the word of God. Matthew 4, and in Deuteronomy 8, I'll just read it for you. Deuteronomy 8, the Bible says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Matthew 4, look at verse number 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, the road to the new man, the road to becoming somebody completely different, it requires labor. And guess what? It requires you reading the word of God, carrying those loaves, carrying that bread, and realize, look, that man, that the new man, see, because our flesh would be like, man, I want to eat some of that goat. I want to eat some of that meat. But no, Samuel said, look, what you need is you need the bread of God in your life. And it's so, they're so small, if you think about it. comparison to the goats. They're just two loaves of bread. And we think to ourselves, the Christian life is just becoming this new man. Living for God is just this unattainable thing that I just can't achieve. But all it is just, hey, it's just a couple of pieces of bread in your hand. And when we see that the Word of God, the bread of the Word of God, can take you to becoming that new man. And what you need to do is labor in the Word of God. See, to become the new man, you must read the Word of God. And there it says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Go to 2 Timothy 3, if you would, 2 Timothy 3. See, the road to the new man requires new labor. Meaning, you must labor in the bread, labor in the word. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Luke 4:4 says, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. What you need, what the new man needs in life is the word of God. 2 Timothy 3, look at verse number 16. The Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You see, how do you get to becoming somebody completely different? You get there by laboring in the word, by reading the Bible. And look, this it sounds so elementary, right? Just, you know, carrying these two little bread, but sadly, most people don't do it. Sadly, most Christians don't read their Bible every day. Just spend 15 minutes a day just reading the Bible. And something so small can be so transforming in your life, so powerful in your life, to actually change you to become someone different. Because look, when you read the Bible every day, yeah, it'll cause you to have different priorities in life. It'll cause you to think differently. See, we think this Christianity is just this big thing. I better carry these three big goats, put all this away. Let me just add going to church three times a week. That'll change my life. But look, what changes your life is when you carry the bread, when you labor in the word. See, see, the Christian life, again, is not this thing that you add on to the old man. No. The new man is a completely different person. The old man, you must let it go. He must die. But you know what? The new man, what he needs in life is he needs the word of God to survive. In the same way, look, we love to eat meat. We love food, right? The old man, they just love food. You know, people right now are probably thinking about what's for lunch, you know, like, I can't wait to hit the buffet. You're thinking about food. Look, we love food, and you know, praise God for food. Who doesn't love food, right? But you know what? The new man, in the same way, look, the new man desires, needs the word of God in his life just to survive, to live. Look, you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. What you must labor to become somebody completely different is you must labor in the Word of God. Something so simple, but yet something most people don't do. And you wonder why people they don't change. Because they're not willing to change direction. They're not willing to forsake the way they thought. And they're not willing to labor in the Word. Just decide to read the Word of God. But not just that, not just to become the new man, it's not just reading the Word of God, but you know what? To become the new man, you must meditate on the Word of God. Go to Psalm 63, if you would. Psalm 63. Psalm chapter 63. It says, blessed is a man that walketh... You're going to Psalm 63, but Psalm 1 says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, it says, doth he meditate. That means he thinks about. He meditates, he ponders about, he muses, he just thinks about day and night. See, to become the new man, and look, this is something that anyone can become. Yeah, you know what? You gotta pick up one loaf and read the Word of God 15 minutes a day. But if you really want to become somebody new, somebody completely different, then you gotta meditate upon the Word of God. Meaning you gotta just think about it. And yeah, I'm talking about memorizing the Bible. I'm talking about thinking about scriptures. Something so small and yet so powerful. And something that the old man wants, he desires. Psalm 63, look at verse number 1. Oh God, thou art my God. It says, notice, early will I seek thee. My soul, notice, thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You see, I don't wake up like this. I don't wake up thirsting after the word of God. My flesh doesn't long for the Bible. It doesn't thirst for it. But look, this is the new man. I understand that the old man, yeah, the old man doesn't want to read the Word of God. But you know what? The new man is desirous They want the word of God early in the morning. Verse 5, it says, notice, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Notice, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. See, what you need to become the new man, to be turned into another man, is you got to meditate on the word of God. Meaning, look, yeah, memorize it. And look, you know what? You think, oh, I'm just so busy. You know, my hands are full. You know, your hands ought to be full with two loaves of bread. One where you read the Bible, and one where you just actually meditate upon the Bible. Amen. And yeah, you know what? People are full. People do have their hands full with just other stuff. And I mean, think about how much free time people have. I mean, look, anyone can go home and just set aside some time to meditate upon the Word of God, to read the Word of God. And look, yeah, that'll require that the old man's going to have to be crucified in some of those things that he used to do. Amen. The old man's, you know what, yeah, the old man wants to do this, but you know what, the new man wants the Word of God, desires the Word of God. Go to Psalm 119, if it's Psalm 119. You see, what's the road to the new man? You must labor. The road to the new man requires new labor. Psalm 119, as you go there, I read for you from Joshua 1:8. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You know, don't we love these verses? Amen. These verses, Joshua 1:8. Everyone knows this verse. But you know what? Yet, how few people apply it? It says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Notice, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. And look, this is what we want. We want to have prosperity in our Christian life. I'm not talking about wealth. I'm talking about you actually being the kind of husband that God has called you to be. I'm talking about you being the kind of spouse, the kind of mom, the kind of wife, the kind of child, the kind of employee that God has called you to be, the kind of Christian that God has called you to be. You see, where does success lie? Success lies in you meditating upon the Word of God, so that you could observe to do according to all that is written therein. And yeah, you know what? It's going to require you to carry some loaves in your life. Psalm 119, look at verse number 14. Psalm 119, verse 14, the Bible says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. There again, I will meditate in thy precepts. Go to Psalm 1, go to verse number 147. Psalm 119, 147. Psalm 119, 147, the Bible says, I prevented the dawning of the morning. The word prevent means to go before. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, notice, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, notice, that I might meditate in thy word. And look, what do people meditate upon when they're in their bed? Upon the night watches. Oh, you wake up, what do? You hit the phone. What video's on? What message is on? What tweet is on? What pictures are on? You go to sleep, you go to bed, you know, instead of meditating upon the word of God, what does the old man do? What videos are on? What tweets are on? You know, what pictures are on? And he's just focused on the things that honestly don't matter. But there it says, look, that we ought to meditate. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I meditate in thy word. You say, how come there's no change in who I am? Why am I the same old person? Well, it's because you're doing the same old things. You got your hands full, but not with the word of God, not with the bread. See, the new man requires new labor. And look, if you want to become, the road to the new man requires you reading the word of God, meditating upon the word of God. Something so small, so simple, two loaves of bread, that's it. But yet something so few Christians actually do in their life, and we wonder why there is no change. But look, this is something that anyone can do. Anyone can change direction in life if they would just choose so. Anyone can pick up that bread if they would just choose so. Go back to 1 Samuel 10. 1 Samuel 10. See, what's the road to the new man? The road to the new man requires new direction. The road to the new man requires new labor. And lastly, the road to the new man requires new company. I want you to notice the third stop that Samuel has Saul go down in this road. 1 Samuel 10, verse number 5, the Bible says, after that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, Notice that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them. Notice, and they shall prophesy. So notice that here we have Saul coming to this new company, a company of prophets, and they preach the word of God. And you say, what's the result of that? In verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. You see, the road to the new man, not only does it require new direction, new labor, but the road to the new man requires new company. Here we have Saul coming to a company of prophets who are just prophesying the word of God, preaching the word of God. And because of that, because of all this, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him and he becomes somebody completely different. You see, what's the road to the new man? What can I do in my life to become this new man? Look, you got to commit to being under the preaching of the word of God. Go to Ephesians 4, if you're to Ephesians chapter number 4. And you say, you know what, Brother Oliver, you know, I come here 3 times a week. I'm here, you know, I hear the preaching of the word of God, and yet nothing changes. Well, again, it's not the preaching that's the problem. It's because we think that we can tag on a sermon or two to the old man. Because the reality is, look, if people hear the preaching of the word of God, and then they just decide to not do anything, to live in the old man, to do what the old man wants to do, then yeah, it's not going to do anything. But because the reality is, look, that when you walk out of here, you got to just walk out in the new man, walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, crucifying the old man. Ephesians 4, like verse number 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It says, notice, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Notice, unto a perfect man. This is not talking about the old man. This is not saying, hey, unto a perfect old man who used to do what they want to do, who can live this life where they live one way and then, you know, play this part as a Christian. No, no, no. Unto the perfect, unto a new man. Notice, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, the whole point of hearing the preaching is to apply. Verse 15, notice, but speaking the truth in love, notice, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You ever meet someone, this kid's got to grow up. They're just doing the same old things. They're not changing, not obeying. It's like you just want to tell them, like, look, just grow up. Become the new man. Get spiritual. Get some new direction in life. Stop thinking like that. Stop doing that. Labor in the word of God. And how is it done? Look, because preaching is not this tag on to your life. No, it's something that you come to apply in your life so that you can go out there and walk in the new man. So when you come to church, you got to just apply something in your life and then go home. And instead of hitting the television, you pick up those breads. I'm not talking about Wonder Bread. You're talking about the word of God, right? You pick up the word of God and yeah, you read it and you meditate upon it and you let it change who you are. But not just that, you should also... when you come to church, you also just sing the hymns. I want you to notice again what it says in the story, that they came with a psaltery in verse 5, a tabret, and a pipe and a harp. Go to Colossians 3, for Colossians 3. It says, there shall be a company of prophets coming down with a psaltery, a tabret, and a pipe, and a harp before them. Here we have them coming down with musical instruments. And look, when you come to this company of believers, look, not only should you apply the preaching, but look, you should come and you should actually sing the hymns when you come. Colossians 3, look at verse number 16. Notice, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, what is that? That's, of course, you reading and meditating upon the word of God, teaching and admonishing one another. Notice, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, notice, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Like when you come to church, look, the new man wants to sing. Like it's scary when you see someone, everyone's singing out loud and someone's just like not moving. The lips are just still. It's like, man, are you not saved? It's like, don't you have the Holy Spirit of God? Like, where is that new man? Where is the new creature who wants to sing to the Lord? Because God has put a new song in our heart. And here he says we should be singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord, making a joyful noise. Look, the new man loves to sing praises to God. So when you come to church, like you say, I don't feel like it, but you should try it. And when you try it, look, you might get actually filled with the Spirit as Saul did, and you might actually just realize, hey, you know what? This is what I need. This is what the new man needs. But not just that, go to Acts 2. Acts 2. Not only should you be under the preaching of the Word of God, not only should you sing the hymns, but you should be a part of the fellowship. Because look, the new man requires new company. And the reality is, look, there's some company of the old man. Now, when you crucify the old man, you should crucify some of that company as well. I'm not saying be rude to people. I'm not saying be unkind. But look, the new man needs some new fellowship. The new man doesn't want to get stuck in the old ways. And look, and people say, oh, our pastor grew up Baptist. So he didn't really grow up with some of the things that, some people have to, obviously he understands it, but some people have to do it. But you know what? Some of us did. Some of you did. You have to just say, you know what? I can't be around that company anymore. I need to change and just let them go because you know what? They're going to corrupt me. And so, but you know what? This is what the new man needs. They need new fellowship in life. Acts 2, look at verse number 46. Acts 2, 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Notice praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Here are the people doing what? Breaking bread from house to house, eating their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That's unity. And look, what we need is, as the new man needs new fellowship in life. And look, so when it comes to this thing of church, it's not just this tag along. No, no. When you come, you got to just get to know people. Come early, talk to people, stay late, fellowship with people, come to the events. Why? Because look, the new man needs that new fellowship. The old man wants to go back to the old ways, to the old buddies, but you know what? That's not what the new man needs. But not just that, go back to 1 Samuel 10. Not only should you be into the preaching, apply the preaching, sing the hymns, be a part of the fellowship, but you should be a part of the work as well. 1 Samuel 10, look at verse number 9. Notice what Saul does, 1 Samuel 10, 9. And it was so that when he turned his back to go from Saul, it says, notice, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill of God, verse 10, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Notice, and he prophesied among them. See, when it comes to the road to the new man, you should also be a part of the work of our church. Look, be a part of the work. You say, I don't know how to prophesy. Well, you know what? Get the Spirit of God inside of you. Read your Bible. Meditate upon it. Be filled with the Spirit. Sing the hymns. Apply the preaching. Clean up your life. And you know what? Sign up for that soul winning seminar. And learn what it is, how to go out there and preach the Word of God. Because look, this is what the new man wants. You say, I don't like to go soul winning. Well, yeah, the old man doesn't like to go preach the gospel. I understand that. But you know what? The new man has no problem preaching the gospel, going out there and telling them how to be saved. In fact, the new man actually desires it. The new man wants it. And if you don't feel that, then look, then get the Word of God inside of your heart. Thy word have I hid in the heart that I might not sin against thee. Read the Bible. Meditate upon the Bible. Come to church and then don't just walk out the same. Don't walk out in the old man. Decide, you know what? I'm going to actually make a change in my life. I'm actually going to walk in the Spirit. I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And come to the soul winning seminar and learn how to give the gospel. You see, what's the road to the new man? Sadly, this road, who I encourage everyone to take, but sadly, some people just decide not to. The road to the new man requires a new direction. You see, I live my life going down this path. Well, you know what? You're not the only one. And you know, you got to just change. I live my life just having the way, this is just who I am, it's just how I think. Then guess what? You need to change. The road to the new man requires new labor. You're working hard, but you know what? Just pick up the bread. Pick up the Bible. Read the Bible. Meditate upon the Bible. The road to the new man requires new company in the house of God, with God's people, under the preaching, being a part of the work. You see what happened to Saul, verse number 6, 1 Samuel 10, 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt, notice, be turned into another man. Verse 7, and let it be when these signs shall come unto thee that thou do as occasion serve thee. Notice, for God is with thee. And look, this is the goal. You know, pastor says it all the time, the goal is God. And our goal is for God to be with us. Because guess what? God's not with the old man. No, God's with the new man. And if you're going to do what God has for you, you should become another man. Look at verse number 11. Now, I want you to notice the people who used to know Saul. 1 Samuel 10, look at verse number 11. And it came to pass, notice, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Notice, all the people who knew Saul in the past, they didn't even recognize him. They couldn't tell, is this the son of Kish? Is he also one of those people as well? And look, this is how we know if you're walking in the new man. See, look, if your old friends from the past, they say, oh, yep, there goes that old man. No change, still the same. Just how I remembered him. Still doing nothing. Still barely going to church. Still not reading his Bible. Still living for himself. But, you know, see, this is how we know. We know if, you know, people from the past say, you know what, oh, man, look, is that him? Is that her? They're completely different. They've turned into another man. I don't even recognize them anymore. See, that's how we know. And look, that ought to be our goal. For us to be another man so that, guess what, those people, we can go back and influence them. Say, you know what, yeah, let me tell you what Jesus Christ did for me. That he died for me on the cross. And so that they can have that new creature. And so that they can become another man. And we see that Saul was actually now ready to be the king. Verse 24. 1 Samuel 10, verse 24. And Samuel said, notice, to all the people, it says, see him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Here we have Saul, who physically had everything going for him. He had the looks, he had the strength, he had the height. But you know what? God says, you know what? You need to become someone completely different. And look, and if you and I, if we're going to accomplish, run the race that is set before us, finish our course with joy, finish the Christian life strong, we got to do it as being someone else, being another man. And so I encourage everyone to go down this road of just saying, you know what? I'm going to become a new man. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, God. I thank you for your word and for our church, for everyone that's here. Dear God, I just pray that you help us all to walk in the new man. And I just thank you for all the promises that you have for us in the word of God. And I just thank you for our church, Lord, for our pastor. I pray that you be with him as he's out there preaching, Lord, just bring him back safely. And I just pray that you give us all a tender heart to the message. Help us all to apply these things in our lives, God. We love you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.